sweat.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, let's listen back to some Nick Caserio moments with his previous head coaching hires. Well, Texans head coaching hires. Joe George doesn't think Nick Caserio had anything to do with David Culley and with Lovie Smith. All right, Joe, what are we doing here? Explain this to us. What do the Killer Bees have to do? What does the talent have to do here?
All right, so we got three sound bites. One of them's, look, the D'Amico one's obvious. But I think there's a clear tone, delivery, excitement level difference between Culley and Lovie's press conference and D'Amico. So I've got three sound bites. Their names are bleeped out when he mentions them. And you guys got to tell me who they are. We'll play Lovie and Culley first, one of the two, so make it easy for you. And then you'll hear how different it is for D'Amico.
Well, after. You just spelled it all out.
So D'Amico's last, what you're saying.
But yeah, because I told you the D'Amico one. The D'Amico one's impossible. But you'll hear the difference.
Okay.
Did I just ruin the game?
No, yeah, we'll not the first two. The first two, I think, are very much
We can start with Candyland next time.
We're going to get them both wrong. I guess we can't get them both wrong. But all right, here's the first one.
One of the most respected figures in the league. He's well-respected throughout the league. He's well-respected in the halls of NRG. I think a lot of us were able to see that this year. So as we worked through this, as I worked through this and got to the end point, I realized the best decision, the best opportunity for this organization to move forward was with the choice of the next head coach.
He cussed.
We're all excited. I'm excited. We have a lot of work in front of us.
Hey, he's so happy he had to be bleeped out. He had to drop him. All right, here's the second one.
Themes such as what a special person he is, how much positive energy he emanates.
Emanates.
A prime example of an individual that believes in servant leadership, someone who conducts himself in a way that brings out the best in others, and an outstanding communicator. And teacher.
That's chewing hilarious. Your tongue like gum.
Perhaps the greatest quality possesses is his ability to connect with people and the approach with which he motivates them each and every day.
Nothing to do with football.
To be fair, he did motivate him to four wins. Lovie couldn't do that.
I mean, and obviously.
Lovie Culley, right?
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
I was just going to say, obviously because our producer extraordinaire probably should have also bleeped out where he said, we saw that when he was in the hallways the entire year. It's like, I don't know. Lovie?
If you would have just played the second one, though, I would have gotten that. Because I remember him talking about how special Culley was and how he can motivate men and things
like
that.
Well, it's interesting.
But I remember him saying that and going, he didn't really say anything about football.
Those were his answers to why they hired. And like, it's why they hired the coach. And what's interesting watching the Culley one is he's just reading. And that's why he sounds so robotic.
See, I thought
he's just reading word for word, like a whole statement.
He was reading?
Yeah.
He sounded more energetic with the Culley than the Lovie. The Lovie one, he sounded defeated to me. Didn't he sound defeated in the Lovie one? Can you play the Lovie one again? Like, we'll play the Lovie one, and then we'll play the D'Amico one. This was last year when he hired Lovie. He sounds defeated.
One of the most respected figures in the league. He's well-respected throughout the league. He's well-respected in the halls of NRG. I think a lot of us were able to see that this year. As we worked through this, as I worked through this and got to the end point, I realized the best decision, the best opportunity for this organization to move forward was with the choice of the next head coach.
So I just
we're all excited.
I just caught something there. Did you hear him say how we worked through this and then he immediately said, I worked through this? That was like, uh-oh, I just slipped.
I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, but whatever. You could see, like, he sounds defeated. Here he was yesterday, Nick Caserio, Texans GM, talking about the hiring of D'Amico Ryans.
The more and more time we spent together, it was almost a no-brainer. Is that who was the right fit for this team, this organization, this city? He's one of our own. He believes in our program. He's been in this building. He's been in our players' shoes. He's been in this city. And for him to come home, for him to give us the opportunity to be a partner with him, certainly grateful and appreciative and can't wait to get started and can't wait to work get to work together.
So asking the question, after hearing the difference between Culley, Lovie, D'Amico, does the tone of Caserio give you confidence that they feel a little bit different about this hire this time around?
No question. No, I think he thinks he's got a true football mind right now. I think he's got, and not that Lovie wasn't, but Lovie's days had passed him by in terms of modern NFL football, I think. And I think the fact that he knows now, dare I say, he's got an equal in the room that they can sit and have real conversations about roster and draft and schemes and things like that. I think this is the guy that, for lack of a better example, this is a guy that he is the first guy he believes he doesn't need to be on the headset with. Now, Lovey threatened him, basically, in an old-school mentality, you won't be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
But I think in a lot of ways he felt like he probably should have been, or he wanted to be, because he was worried about old-school guy and new-school football. But this is the first guy that he believes, like, this guy's got it. We're going to work together, and we are equal on this front.
Yeah. Yeah, he does sound a lot more excited. It does give you a little bit of a reassuring feel. I think we were talking the other day about what this does for Nick Caserio from, like, a hot seat point of view. I think it resets it to an extent, like where his stance is with the organization, because now you do have like this partnership that you didn't have in the first 2 years. And like the stories behind how the guys were hired, the head coaches, whether it was Cully, whether it was Lovey, I think that that's also a factor. Like if Cal McNair knows that Nick Caserio was kind of limited whenever he was hiring his first two coaches, I think that buys an extra year or two in terms of like a rebuild for the Houston Texans. So he does sound way more excited. I think you're right that it's like, okay, this dude like can match my wits from a football point of view, and he gives me confidence that he's going to be able to match wits with other head coaches around the NFL.
I think he might outmatch Nick from a terms of like X's and O's NFL.
I don't think that. Strategy in terms of like Sundays, game day, the 60 minutes, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. But I also, like to your point, listening to Caserio talk about D'Amico on the Highway to Hell, they were talking about like kind of schemes and how they want to get like creative and be tricky to an extent and like, you know, deceive defenses and offenses, basically do simple things that are kind of confusing the offense and the defense of the other team. Yep. Like that's what D'Amico is known for in San Francisco.
Eye movement, body movement, that quote.
Motions, things like that. And like he even like D'Amico's known for in San Fran where he would have like, you know, six or seven dudes at the line of scrimmage. And it's like, where's everybody coming from? Like you're trying to create a certain element of deceit. Mm-hmm. So the other team's a half second late. And we know in, you know, professional sports, how important that half second can be, you know, the difference. You weren't getting that in Lovie Smith. You certainly weren't giving that in David Culley. And now that you have Nick Caserio, who is, I think Nick Caserio is a smart guy. People think I'm crazy for saying that. I think that he is excited by the idea of being able to have a head coach where he can throw ideas to him. D'Amico is going to throw player ideas at him and kind of be excited about working with somebody like that. Now, it could backfire. Like we've seen GMs and head coaches that we thought were attached at the hip all of a sudden fail. This year, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Like I thought that they were those two dudes were like going to win 10 games every year in the AFC South and always figure out a way to be a playoff team. And then John Robinson's fired in the middle of the year. Like what was going on there? The Brian Gain, Bill O'Brien thing. Like we think Bill O'Brien was the reason that Brian Gain was here. Alignment. We heard that from the very beginning. And then all of a sudden, Brian Gain mysteriously fired. So all of that stuff can change fast. And I think one thing we would all agree on is that D'Amico has more power at this point in terms of like, you know, who has the eye of Cal McNair than Nick Caserio does.
Well, yeah, I think that from the standpoint of you can be this to your point on Nick, you can be intelligent. I think he's a smart guy. But I think it's the jury's still out on football smarts as it relates to every aspect of the football operation.
You got to translate it to building a roster.
Yeah, from his initial and most important job responsibility, it's to build the football team, right? So he might know some X's and O's. He might know what to say on the headset. He might know the little card on the cheat sheet for analytics on when to go for it, when not to. But the most important thing that he was brought in and given the responsibility to do, we're still kind of analyzing on a day-to-day basis. So I think there's a difference between football smarts to do the job that he was supposed to do and the intelligence that he brings to the table as an intelligent human being. I think he's a smart dude.
The jury's still out, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what we don't know. Like it's very easy because he hasn't translated it yet.
Right.
Like, you can't say that he has. He's won three games. He's won four games. I got those backwards. But 4-3, you get my point. 7 games in 2 years as the GM of the Houston Texans.
He's got a tie.
He's got 7.5 wins.
He didn't wear one yesterday, did he?
He didn't. I was surprised by that. I actually was surprised by that. Were you not surprised that he wasn't wearing the tie?
I think it's a different era in fashion these days where ties are becoming more optional than required for these kind of events. In the past, I would have been surprised, but yesterday, I was almost surprised he didn't wear a half zip. Like one of the sweater half zips,
or at least a vest.
Yeah,
like a
he's
vest.
Big
over.
On the vest.
Yeah, I mean, vest season's the best season. 713-780 ESPN at Frankie's Friday Fire. $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen on the line. If you bring the heat, 713-780-3776. 2568 says that was Caserio's real response with curse words when Cal told them who they were hiring. I think this has a shot. Maybe I'm just like blinded by, you know, the excitement of D'Amico Ryans. Maybe I'm blinded, or at least like hypnotized by the words of Nick Caserio. Look, also, you have the second pick, the 12th pick. You have $40 million to spend. You have two first-round draft picks next year. I understand why there's excitement into this organization. That's why the D'Amico Ryans hire, from at least from a public relations point of view, matters, because it's going to lead to excitement in the organization. If you hire Jonathan Gannon, you still have all those things. You still have the second and 12th pick. You still have $40 million. You still have two first-round draft picks next year. Maybe even Jonathan Gannon and D'Amico Ryans are equals in terms of football wit and football IQ. But if they're equals, like, what gives D'Amico the edge is all like what we saw yesterday. Everybody's back there. The pep rally,
imaging
basically
to them is everything.
The city and being like over the moon.
It's like the Sauce and Stingley conversation. If all things considered are close to equal, go with the healthier of the two guys with the medicals. This one's kind of along the same front. If all things are equal between Gannon and D'Amico, but you got an ex-player that the city's going to be hyped about, that they know, recognize, and are excited about his name, you go with that guy.
Yeah. A-Bear brings up a good point on Twitter. D'Amico Ryans as the Texans head coach is akin to a number one pick. The potential to be great is there, but is yet to be seen. It looks promising, though. 100% fact. That's why the reaction to it was kind of like, don't act like you just won the Super Bowl. Like, don't act like you just won 13 games in an NFL season. Like, it's not a guarantee. Like, we all have faith in D'Amico Ryans. We think he was a great pick. Where no one's going to crush the Texans for, like, even if D'Amico fails, no one's going to crush the Texans for picking D'Amico Ryans. And it's a great day. It was a great day, and great days should be celebrated. But a lot of people are going very, very far.
They are.
Like the Texans
but understand
were winning
that
the
when
Super
you
Bowl.
Haven't really had anything to cheer about in the last 2.5 years, and suddenly you seemingly, by all accounts, nationally and locally, got one right, you do want to celebrate for a day or two. You want, you know, it's like we talk about a team that's lost like 20 games in a row, and all of a sudden they either beat a contender or they get off the schneid and they win, and everybody goes, I mean, act like you've been there before. You're acting like you won the championship. Well, you know what? It's small victories. And sometimes small victories mean the most to franchises that haven't tasted it like others have. Mm-hmm. And from a Texans perspective, all they've been tasting is the backside of a dog's rear end for the last 3 years. It's about time that they get to taste some ice cream and celebrate with some flowers.
It's like a 7-15 team beating a top 25 team and rushing the court. Like, it's your right. First time to celebrate something, even though you haven't been very good. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Did D'Amico Ryans tip his hand at the quarterback position during yesterday's press conference? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, a Frankie's Friday fire. $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen on the line. If you bring the heat, call 713-780-3776. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Text at that same call number. Or you can tweet at Pac-Man Joel at Jeremy Branham. Before we talk about D'Amico potentially tipping his hand at the quarterback position yesterday, let's go out to the HRP listener line on a Frankie's Friday fire and get Joshua in here. Joshua, you're in the hive of the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to start off by saying that I look forward to y'all videos every day, and I had a question for y'all. If Lovie wanted to go all defense this year and end up going offensive next year, would y'all be okay with that? I'll hang up and listen to
Did the he call. Say, he said defense in year one, then offense next year? Is that what he said?
I think so.
I think you need a balance. But if you – like, let's just use the first round. Let's just say the first round. Because you have pick 2, pick 12, and if you want to throw that first pick of the second round in there, which would be the 33rd player selected, 34th pick of the draft, because Miami forfeited their pick. Let's just use those three, because, like, whatever, who cares what you do, really? I mean, it matters, but defense, offense, best player available at that point. Let's say the Texans go Will Anderson, Jalen Carter at 2. Let's say they go that safety dude from Alabama at 12, and then they take the best defensive player available at number 34. Do you hate that?
I understand it.
I don't hate it.
I understand it simply because I would rather them tell me, and that's whether they have a press conference and they're transparent or not, they're telling me without telling me that they just weren't as enamored as everybody else with these quarterbacks, and or they just felt like...
I don't know if you could say that, though. I don't know if you could say that, because if you think, like, because it's not egregious to say that Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, from a BPA point of view, are better than Bryce Young, Will Levis, and C.J. Stroud. You could think highly of those quarterbacks, but just fall in love with one of those defensive players.
You could, and I understand it. I'm just saying that from the standpoint of how important a quarterback is and how bad this team has been at getting that quarterback and or trying to figure it out since the Deshaun debacle, the last thing you want to do is pass on a guy that plays the position that's the most important on the field that has the ability to be really good. And so, and you know, we heard Travis yesterday, Travis Johnson, talking about, you know, the importance of a quarterback.
Yeah, but also defense wins championships.
Okay. I'm just saying that when you look at it in terms of how important the quarterback, and we've said it's the most important position in any sport, in professional sports, basically. So if you know that there's guys out there or a guy out there that could be that kind of guy for you, no matter how highly you think of, you know, every other position on the field and the guys in the draft, I think that you take that guy. And I think that you would make that move. I think that unless, like we talked about, there was a discussion before you hired him as head coach that DeMeco would control the two pick, or you said that, hey, look, we're not that enamored as everybody else, but we know that our guy knows defense, and in order to get him to be able to do the kind of things he was able to do in San Francisco, the easiest way to get him on the right path to that is let's give him all the weapons we can. We can't match the guys that he had, but he knows how to analyze talent too.
Yep.
And if he sees a couple of guys that really catch his eye that know they got that it that can really do something, then you got to trust him and go get him, and then also understand with the process you should be in a position next year to find a quarterback.
We all understand the importance of quarterback in the NFL. It's top two most important positions in all of sports, that and the best player on an NBA basketball team, the two most important positions in sports. But DeMeco is coming from San Francisco, where they were making some hay with Brock Purdy. They were winning games with Jimmy Garoppolo, a career mid in the NFL, and they were going with a rookie at the start of the season with Trey Lance. So, like, that's the exception to the rule.
He tried to paint that picture.
What's that?
DeMeco tried to paint that picture yesterday.
See, here's the soundbite, because I saw some people take this both ways. I saw some people take it the, you know, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is if you build up the rest of the roster. I saw some other people say, well, this means he's taking quarterback at number two. Here was DeMeco talking about that quarterback position for the Houston Texans coming up in this draft.
We understand we have one quarterback here on our roster, and we have to add more at that position. And we know everybody gets excited about the quarterback. The quarterback is one piece to a team. As I've seen in San Francisco, like, what happens when you don't have that one guy? Is the season over? Are you just booking it? And no. How do you build around, right? Build around that quarterback. Yes, we want a great quarterback, but no, we need a great offensive line to protect the quarterback. We need great running backs, great tight ends, great receivers. We need a great defense, special teams. We all play together. And that's the awesome part about football, is it's not on one guy's shoulder to go out there and win the game for us. So it's all about building around, right, each other, right, and playing together. That's how we'll win games.
Honestly, I thought that was a stock answer, where he said he talked a lot and said nothing. Like, I think he went in every direction, was giving a very cliche answer.
Good,
like,
he should, though, too.
Right, I agree. I don't disagree. Like, he's going to tell you that he's going to take Bryce Young at two? Like, no, it doesn't make any sense to do that. But, like, he said, I have one. So a lot of people said, I have one quarterback. So everybody thought, oh, Davis Mills, he thinks he can win with Davis Mills. He also says we need to add more. Honestly, I think that sentence was completely from, like, a 53-man roster point of view.
Mm-hmm. Like, we have one guy on the roster?
Because the other two are free agents. So it's like, we currently have one on the roster. You do. Davis Mills is the only quarterback under contract. We have to add more. You do, because again, Davis Mills is the only quarterback under contract. He says you have to have great everything, because if you don't have that quarterback, then it could elevate the quarterback, basically. But he also says you need a great quarterback. So he said both things. Like, this was a very cliche, it was a nothing burger statement from DeMeco Ryans.
And
honestly,
I think it should have been, because you're not going to tip your hand. You're not going to give everybody any indication. And all you needed to say was exactly what he did, maybe not as long-winded, but just say, hey, we only got one quarterback on the roster. We know we have to address the quarterback position. As we settle in here and Nick and I start getting into real business now that this is done and we put this behind us, we understand where the focus is going to be for this franchise. We know how important a quarterback is, but we know how important a lot of positions are too. So it's going to be, again, the real telltale signs where you guys can start giving out grades out there and get really, truly heartfelt, filled excitement is how they handle free agency and how they handle the draft. And then based on the direction they go, you probably will get whether they're transparent or not, you'll get as clear an understanding as we've gotten in the last couple of years. as to what the thought process was just by who they take, I think, more so than anything
else. Yeah, it would be a tell. And look, I have a very low standard for what the Texans do. I've told you this every single day. I'm happy with one of four players. You want to go Bryce Young, Will Anderson, you want to go Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, go defense? I'm cool with that, especially since you hired DeMeco. You want to go Bryce Young and then Will Levis because you're bringing in a West Coast guy? Hey, I'm cool with that. Here was where I think DeMeco did tip his hand a little bit, because I don't think he really tipped his hand a whole lot in terms of roster or what you're doing at number two. He talked more philosophy and how he wants his team to be. But I think he did tip his hand on who the next offensive coordinator is going to be.
How I envision the offense looking, right? We want to play with precision. We want to play with effort. We want to play with physicality. So with that being, we want to own the line of scrimmage. We want to establish the run game first, but we want to be balanced, right? We want to be able to operate with play action pass, right? We also want to be efficient. We want to have explosive playmakers who we can get the ball to. If it's not down the field, we want to be able to throw a check down, right, and put it in the hands of an explosive playmaker and see him create. So there, everything about our offense, we want to make sure that we're adaptable to the players that we have, making sure we're playing to the strengths of our players, getting the ball in our playmakers' hand and letting them make plays.
A lot of people thought that DeMeco Ryans was reinventing the wheel whenever he said that he's this revolutionary when it comes to offense. But I think he told us who the next offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans is going to be. Yeah,
I think later on when he started talking about having a diversity on his staff, experienced guys and maybe less experienced guys. I think he's paving the way for you to be okay with him taking Slowik as his offensive coordinator.
Now, Slowik, not a minority, but
I'm talking about the diversity in terms of experience on the coaching staff.
Sure.
You might have some veterans that have been there and done that before. You might have some guys that have never called plays before, I think, is the way I saw him setting that up.
I think it's another layer to the onion to peel back. But if you look at it from what he said from an offensive point of view, he wants to run the ball. He wants to win at the line of scrimmage. He wants to use play action. If he's not throwing it deep, he wants to throw it to explosive players underneath. Yeah, it's great. Shanahan.
Well, that's because I saw LaFleur say the exact same things to do what he's done in Green Bay.
Right. And look at the three offensive coordinators that have currently interviewed for the job. Maybe there's more, but we haven't heard news in the last couple of days. One's Bobby Slowik, who's the 35-year-old passing game coordinator for San Francisco. The other two, remember, you need to also satisfy the Rooney rules when it comes to hiring a coordinator.
That's true.
One is Troy Walters, a black man, who's the Bengals wide receivers coach. They don't really run that, run first, under center, play action, lots of motion. They really don't do that in Cincinnati. And then Nick Caley, who's in New England, I really don't know what his offensive scheme is. He was the tight ends coach with the Patriots.
He's probably a defensive backs coach under Matt Patricia.
I think it's a John Carroll favor. That's where Nick Caley went to college. Where did Nick Caserio go to college? He went to John Carroll. So I think that they're doing Caley a solid by getting his name in the mix again for another offensive coordinator job. He was in the Jets mix, didn't get the job. He was in the Patriots mix. It went to Bill O'Brien. With Caley?
Yeah.
I mean, the obvious one's New England here, but I'm guessing.
And there's New England, San Francisco, and Jimmy Garoppolo, Eastern Illinois.
Caley.
He was the coach there when Garoppolo was there.
Okay, that terrifies me.
And wasn't
me too.
But wasn't the Bengals guy under Zach Taylor, who was under Shanahan as well?
I thought Taylor was a McVay guy.
Oh, okay, he's a McVay guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so similar style offense, though.
Similar styles, but I mean, I guess it depends on how you think Walters is going to run that offense, and because he's been at Cincinnati. I don't think Zach Taylor's offense really looks like Shanahan's.
No, but with Mixon, they do try to run the ball first. They've got the two running backs where they like to run the football.
You think the Cincy's run first?
I think they try. They want to be from time to time. I think from series to series. If they start a new series, I think there's times that they are completely run focused.
Joe Mixon needs to run to jail. Did you see the news?
Yeah,
on him?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Good.
No, it's dismissed.
They got dismissed.
His lawyer already had set the table. Yeah. He was going to get dismissed.
Yeah, it came out today that the gun thing was dismissed for him.
So he didn't do it, or he just
no?
Paid
they're
him
just
off?
Saying that
question.
I'm sure that what they're going to say is, do you know it was his finger or a gun, or can you prove it? And if you can't,
the other thing from that statement that I take away is he talks more about the flexibility, and I think that's why a Kyle Shanahan offense makes sense, because the one thing Shanahan has proved is he can adapt to anyone. Mm-hmm. He has Garoppolo, who's a throw first guy, going to be in the pocket. Lance was going to be more of the RPO, more college style offense. And that's what you have to do. You have to build, you have to just build around what you have. If you have, that's why I thought Pep Hamilton, he had no chance to succeed with Davis Mills, because I thought whatever offense he was trying to run, Davis Mills couldn't run.
Right.
There was plays that could have been successful. We brought this up with Nagy the other day. The minor strengths that Mitch Trubisky had, and why Nagy probably wouldn't be a fit here is because he can't do the square peg into a round hole. Like, you have to make your offense work around the talent you got. You don't have a choice.
I thought Keenan McCardell, obviously for a lot of bias on my standpoint too, but I thought he got an interview in New England, but I thought he might be a guy that they'd at least talk to, because working under O'Connell last year with the Vikings, I think that, again, that kind of style of offense is something that could work that with D'Amico and his philosophies, and I thought that he was a guy that they might speak to. I'm glad Anthony Lynn wasn't on the list, and when we talked about it the other day, because I want a guy that's going to call play that's going to call plays and also spend time developing a quarterback. I think Anthony Lynn is more focused on just trying to get his next head coaching job or figure out where he's going.
The one thing with San Francisco's offense is that, like, while they're able to adapt to their quarterback, they do it, like, with the same stuff. Like, they don't change a whole lot of what they do. Now, the play calling is a little bit different. They might change up a couple of different things, but for the most part, their offense is their offense, and it's almost quarterback-proof. Like, you almost get really good quarterback play from that spot because of the offense. We saw it with Kubiak with the Texans, who, you know, made Matt Schaub look like a top-five quarterback for a couple of years, and we've seen it with San Francisco. Made Mr. Irrelevant look like he could potentially go to a Super Bowl. So I think he tipped his hand. I think the next offensive coordinator is going to be Bobby Slowick. 713-780-ESPN on a Frankie's Friday Fire. Our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Matt Schaub was on with the boys, the Willies, yesterday. Talked about a scenario at quarterback for the Houston Texans. Maybe not one, but two, and is a specific fit a good fit for the D'Amico Ryans Houston Texans? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right now, a word from mybookie.ag. You know, they offer the most competitive odds in the widest range of sports and all the events to bet on, and they get almost every sport out there, every game. If you want to bet on it, you know where to go, mybookie.ag, including the big game coming up next week. You know, it's what everybody looks forward to all year long, from the prop bets to the actual game itself, and the only place that can really take care of you is mybookie.ag. Their website makes it easy to place bets, easy to track your progress from anywhere at any time. Plus, their exclusive promotions and bonuses are like no other. They make it fun, and they give you more opportunities to actually earn some extra cash. Sign up now before the big game gets here. Use the promo code BET975 on a deposit of $50 or more, and you get a cash bonus in your account. It'll be pretty easy to figure out how much they gave you, and it'll instantly be there in your MyBookie account. But the more important thing is, you just have to bet that amount once and you're ready to cash it out. That means it's your money if you win. It doesn't mean that there's all these other stipulations where you got to keep it in there a certain amount of time, bet it on a certain amount of things before you can get it out. Nope, it's no strings attached with MyBookie.ag. Other online sites don't make it this easy. They do, because they take care of you at MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975 for the ultimate sports betting experience, where you can bet on hockey and NBA, college basketball, and so much more. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Former Texan great Matt Schaub was on the Willies yesterday, hanging out with the boys. We'll get into that in a moment. Danny wants to call in. It's a Frankie's Friday Fire. $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen is on the line. Call, text, tweet, Twitch, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Danny, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Danny?
What's going on, man? I'm on my way to Fredericksburg for a birthday.
Oh,
so let me
man.
Get the guy to call.
I love Fredericksburg hey, so much.
Oh, it's going to be my first time there, so we're going to be celebrating my daughter's birthday.
Happy birthday to her.
Go get some sangria from Pontotoc Vineyard. You'll change your life.
Pontotoc. Okay, I'm going to have to try that out.
The sangria is outstanding.
Talk me out of it or agree with me on this. D'Amico Ryan said he wanted a coach maybe who's new to the game. Maybe not new, but knows about the game. I'm going to throw a name out there and agree with me or disagree with me. I told some friends of mine last night, and they're like, their jaws hit the ground like,
Like they thought you were crazy or that you were a genius?
Yeah, I say Andre Ware.
Oh, Andre Ware. Go Cougs, by the way. Danny.
I mean,
Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. Have fun in Fredericksburg. I love that. I'm serious. I love that place. Go Cougs. Love Andre Ware. I think Andre likes his job. Andre's doing TV on ESPN. He's doing the radio with Rock and Roll. I think that he's pleased with what he does. And, like, to be an OC, like, you kind of have – like, I think it's easier to be a head coach without ever having coaching experience than it is to call plays in the NFL without having coaching experience.
I was going to say a general manager.
Saturday, you know what I mean?
Because you could take a Mike Mayock, and at least you're doing the study time, the film sessions, and looking at every player to where you have some understanding of the abilities of players in the draft from that perspective.
Yeah.
But, like, everybody got enamored a few years ago, and Mayock kind of started the ball rolling. And then Louis Riddick, who had some experience in NFL front offices, too, but then he came to the forefront as a broadcaster, and suddenly, you got to hire him. I mean, we both know Andre. I know Andre really well. I see him in the gym multiple times every week.
Who lifts more?
I don't know that it's a contest like that. I think at our ages, we stick more to machines than free weights.
So him is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that.
Sounds like what you're saying.
I'm saying that, you know, I think from Andre's perspective, he's got, like you said, he's got a great life. I mean, and that's not to say whether he could or could do the job or whether he wanted to do it or not. I think at this point in his life and what he's doing, I think he's pleased doing everything he's doing and doesn't need that grind.
I don't want to do this because Danny's going to Fredericksburg, one of my favorite places in the state. He's going to he better have some of the sangria that I suggested. It'll change your life. Andre, go Cougs, one of my favorite people. I don't want to do this, especially on a Friday. But Danny just made the list. Danny just made the list of Bad Tech Boulevard. Andre Ware is the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans, deserves to be on Bad Tech Boulevard.
I think right now we're in an era of there's this just everyone's so excited that D'Amico's the coach that like 80% of the people that were standing next to him yesterday in that photo of former Texans people want on the staff. Like everyone's like, let's get Andre Johnson a job. Let's get Brian Cushing a job. Like, look, it's just – that's not reality. Like, if you want to go outside the box, I think it's more like what's happening right now in Tampa, potentially, with what D'Amico's talking about. Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers are interviewing the Georgia offensive coordinator, Todd Monken.
Oh, really?
For their job. Like, I think if you're talking, like, outside the box and something like that, maybe D'Amico goes that way.
Liam Cohen. Knows.
Who?
Liam Cohen.
Who's that?
He's going to be the offensive coordinator at Kentucky for the second time in his career.
That's the guy that worked with Levis 2 years ago?
He was previously the offensive coordinator at the Los Angeles Rams this past season.
So steal him from Kentucky before he even gets there?
Yeah. Yeah. And you pair him up with you know who.
I mean, look. By the way, kudos to Trapp for getting right in the middle of that picture yesterday. It was awesome. Travis was right in the center. Yeah, he was right there.
Yeah, he was. He was.
What do you guys think of the jerseys?
He was eating some space. The jerseys.
They're going to sell those Coach 59 jerseys.
Oh, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, they're selling those.
Here's a very minor observation that I thought was interesting. They had the red helmets out at the –
Noticed it right away.
As the the decoration. I was surprised that they had the red
helmets
out there.
Maybe that's their primary this year.
I think that could be a hot take. Yeah. I don't think it's that crazy.
They're awesome. Like whatever the uniform changes, I think the red take
– I don't like the red.
Red helmet stays.
I like it too, but I think that it's a 2-year process to get the new colors and the new logos and all the things when it comes to the NFL, the NBA used to be and they lightened it up. But in order to wait that 2 years, you still are looking to make a difference so that people notice and they feel again like it's a new regime. It's a new era. It's a new look. And I think that they probably will go that route. It's the first thing I noticed when they all came out. I was like, uh-oh. They're using the red helmet. That means they probably are leaning that way.
I noticed it, too. I think that there's – I don't think we're crazy there. Maybe we are. 713-780-3776 or the Killer Bees Crazy, our HRMP listener line. Matt Schaub was on with the Willies yesterday. He was hanging out with the boys. Oh, BK was still out?
He was still out.
Man. Is he all right?
I hope so. I texted him, and he said that he is hanging in there, but I think he's had some struggles.
I think he's back to health. It's voice issues now.
Oh, I went through that. About 3 months ago, it was rough, real rough. Anyway, Schaub, what's that?
Went through it with you.
I think you were out the day that was bad.
No, it wasn't just one day. You were struggling with it for quite a while.
I took a day off, and then, yeah, you're right, I did. Anyways, Matt Schaub, former quarterback, one of the greatest quarterbacks in Houston Texans history, joined the Wheelhouse yesterday, and he had an idea about the quarterback position for the Houston Texans.
I think if you're going to have a young
quarterback to, you know, be a stability factor at that position. It's good to have a veteran presence. I've always felt that, that you'd like to have someone, if you have a young quarterback, to be able to have some experience, to be able to help a younger player grow, develop, learn how to be a pro, the nuances of game planning and preparation throughout the week. And but, you know, D'Amico knows that, and I think that's probably how he feels.
Kind of like Chris Chandler with Steve McNair back with the Houston Oilers. But there, Matt Schaub saying veteran quarterback, rookie quarterback. 713-780-ESPN. Is that something that you would like to see? Is it something you can do nowadays in the NFL? 713-780-3776. And ESPN, their little quarterback carousel, they might be saying the same thing about the Texans quarterback that Matt Schaub had to say. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Matt Schaub says the Texans, how about the idea of veteran and rookie? Look, this has worked. You know, we saw it in Houston a long time ago, just before they left. Chris Chandler, Steve McNair. You saw it up close and personal. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. You might be seeing it with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, to be quite honest with you. We saw it with Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes,
Alex Smith,
didn't play his freshman year in the NFL. Did not play as a rookie in the NFL. He played a little bit, but didn't start. He was the number two behind Alex Smith. What do you think of the idea of veteran quarterback and a rookie?
I like it.
Really?
I like it a lot. And I'll tell you why, more than anything else. I like the big brother approach. I'll liken it back to Hard Knocks when Baker Mayfield was drafted one and they had Tyrod Taylor. The fact that Tyrod Taylor knew what his first priority was to do, and that is to get this kid, kind of get his feet wet and get him acclimated to how the NFL works and walk him through some of the pitfalls and other things that he had experienced. And oh, by the way, if he struggles early, I also have a pretty clear-cut role to get some playing time and do some things. But I think that that's the kind of mentoring that you'd like to see in a situation like this. I think that you're not going to want a guy like Davis Mills who'd like to cut his throat and like, you know, jerry-rig his car with a banana in the tailpipe so that he can get more reps and he can slide into his role because he's still pissed off he's not starting. You want a guy that can kind of, again, the alter ego to what the Rockets have in veterans right now is what I would say. You want a guy that wants to be here knowing full well that it's not to earn a job on another team or get traded. It's to do a job that you have been groomed to do. Maybe you want to get into coaching too, but you know you're being brought in half as a coach and a mentor, half as a player, but I think it gives you a lot of flexibility to do things they didn't have a year ago with the guys they had on the roster.
The ESPN has their their quarterback carousel out, and they suggested, they actually predicted two quarterbacks to land in Houston. One is a veteran, one is a rookie. They're predicting that Jimmy Garoppolo will be a Houston Texan.
Again,
and that they draft C.J. Stroud. So this is that example of a veteran quarterback, rookie quarterback. You have the understudy that's learning under a veteran quarterback. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo probably wouldn't love this because he just got out of that life in San Francisco.
See, right. And the thing that I don't like about it is you're not bringing in like a lifetime veteran like Chase Daniels, or you're not bringing in a guy that once was a starter that knows, hey, I'm going to collect a check for another year. I'm probably not going to get my bell rung and get knocked around too much. And it's a good opportunity for me to make some money and maybe pave a way to a coaching career. Jimmy Garoppolo is trying to play for another deal. He wants a couple more years in this league. And so I don't think it's the right circumstances with those two guys.
One of the, like Jacoby Brissett would be an option here. Like somebody who can start, obviously. He started some games in Cleveland. Now, he didn't win a lot of games, but he can start, capable of starting, you know, kind of knows his role, shuts his mouth, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. to borrow a phrase from The Rock, you know, is willing to groom a younger quarterback. He's not really going to be a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL for a long period of time. Like, Jacoby Brissett's like a top 35 quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo is like a top 25. Garoppolo thinks he needs to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, whereas Brissett probably does not. I personally am not a fan of this. I'm not a huge fan of the veteran quarterback
at
have
all?
Him start eight games? Not really. No,
I'm not saying he has to start. I'm saying if you go quarterback at two,
well, then veteran backup's fine. Yeah,
yeah. I need a veteran guy that's not hell bent on starting. He's hell bent on collecting a check, doing his job, and knows exactly what the requirements are going to be.
I don't think Schaub was really, like, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I don't think Schaub was really saying that though. I think Schaub was talking more about, you bring in a veteran, you draft a rookie, the veteran's going to start for a majority of the rookie quarterback's first year.
But you have to do that if you're going to do it. They have to start for until the bye or something like
that. If you're going to go that route, yeah.
They cannot make the mistake that we've seen teams like the Texans, the Bears make, where, like, you put this garbage quarterback on the field for a half Tom Savage, and then you bench him.
See,
like,
I think
you can't waste these practice reps with a rookie quarterback, with a fake quarterback competition. You either got to go all in and Jimmy G's your guy, someone like that,
yep.
And or your rookie's just getting all the snaps.
This is about tiers.
One.
If you're looking at a veteran that's on a tier that still wants to, expects to, or can be a starting quarterback in this league, it's entirely different than a veteran like Joe Flacco, who knew his best days were behind him, that knew he might get a call later in the season. So I kind of saw it as the mentoring guy in the background to help the kid, you know, get his wits about him, as opposed to going getting a guy that can play this year, that can try and turn it into a job somewhere.
Yeah, I heard it more as like Favre with Rodgers, Smith for Mahomes, Chandler for Steve McNair. That's the way I heard it, where you have a veteran quarterback, he's playing a majority of the first year for the rookie QB, and the rookie quarterback is learning under the veteran. Because I agree with Joe. Like, this is more, and it's not even really to me about tiers, it's more about this is our plan. Like, we're going to draft a quarterback at number two, and our plan is going to be, he's going to be a backup for a majority of the season, and we're going to bring in a veteran to be our starter. Like, you have to go into the season with that in mind. I'm not a fan of it, to be completely honest with you. Ocho on Twitch, I believe in trial by fire if the offensive line is sufficient. That's where you could, like, okay, might change my mind. If you had an expansion offensive line like David Carr did, and he had PT sack D, where he could not overcome all the hits that he's had in his career to be a competent quarterback, if you have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL where the rookie quarterback's getting hit time after time after time, I think it ruins the development, potentially could ruin the QB. I think the Texans' offensive line is sufficient enough to protect a rookie quarterback. You have what many people consider one of the best left tackles in football that wants top left tackle money. Titus Howard's above average at the right tackle spot. Above average to pretty good, actually. Kenyon Green, we don't know yet. I think they're going to try to improve at center and right guard. But long story short, I think the Texans' offensive line is sufficient enough to protect a rookie QB.
The other way to look at this, Jeremy, is not just in terms of the tier and who would you bring in on that, you know, to be that guy, if that is something that you were going to consider doing. It's the effect it could have on the quarterback, right? Because it's one thing to say that if you draft a quarterback and you have him in a camp and in the locker room every day with a guy that's still trying to be a starter in this league, the kid could get a little rattled too and look over his shoulder and start worrying about what's going on and press a little bit too much. You know, I always said I'm a big fan of competition, but the one thing that you have to factor in is, you also don't want to ruin your franchise quarterback that you just drafted by having too much to worry about. So not to say that he would do that all the time, but I'm saying the one thing you had to be leery of is you bring in a Jimmy G type, you realize every day I'm looking over my shoulder like, this guy wants my job. He wants to be the starter on this team, and he wants to play it for another contract, as opposed to a Flacco type guy or a Chase Daniels type
right.
guy who just is happy to be there and happy to help.
I mean, I think Jeremy said the right name.
Who's that?
I like your two names, Joel, but I think Case Keenum's the guy.
No, I
shut up.
I rather
no,
go
I'm
your
serious.
Route.
No, I'm serious. Bring in Case Keenum to be the backup quarterback for whoever you're going to do.
No, I'm saying shut up because this is like Jeremy's football Lord and savior.
Case
like,
Keenum is the
like
the answer.
Chase Daniels, Case Keenum, like those guys to me, like they make.
I'll give
most
you another
sense.
One. Is the Longhorn.
Colt McCoy?
Yep.
Andy Dalton's a free agent also.
No, I've seen enough of the Red Rocket. Of course,
but you're not going to see him.
But
like, unless
I can tell you this,
hurt.
They'd win the press conference.
Everybody wants all these Texans to be former assistant coaches. Why not just bring Vince Young to be the backup quarterback?
Yeah, because what's he going to teach you? How to be a bad quarterback?
here's like, I think that there should be a veteran quarterback if you draft a rookie. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be a starter. So I think you and I are kind of on the same page.
But
the way that I heard Matt Schaub's comments was that you bring in a veteran quarterback to be the starter. So I'm disagreeing with Matt Schaub, not disagreeing with you, because I agree with you. There needs to be a veteran in the room if you do go the rookie quarterback spot at number two, Will Levis, to help him be a, you know, a professional. I think, and I think there's plenty of names that would be good in that role. I just don't want to bring in the mediocre veteran quarterback and he is my starter day one under any scenario, whether you draft a quarterback or two or not.
It's like the one scenario we were talking about. If you go young guy that didn't get to his full potential with Zach Wilson, or, you know, we name the guys that we were talking about, Jordan Love or Trey Lance. Those guys aren't going to be doing anything to help the kid. Those guys are going to be doing everything to say, you got a guy that should have been the guy where I was, and I'm going to be the guy here. And so you're going to stunt the development. So if you're looking at that direction, then you might as well not draft the kid in the first place. And that's why I think on those same lines, I don't want a veteran that still expects to be a starting quarterback in this league in the next year and a half to 2 years. I want a veteran that's happy to be there, knows his role, and is going to do everything in his power to get the best out of the kid that you draft.
We both disagree about Schaub.
I think there's like very clearly like three examples in history the Texans can't follow. You can't be the Texans and do what they did with Tom Savage, because that was stupid. We wasted everyone's time. He played a half of football and you benched him. You can't be the Jets. Going into Zach Wilson's rookie year, they had zero snaps of NFL play with the three quarterbacks on their roster. How does that help anyone? Mm-hmm. And then you can't be the Jacksonville Jaguars. They wasted that. Urban Meyer wasted an entire offseason splitting reps like there was some fake quarterback competition or real quarterback competition between Gardner Minshew and Trevor Lawrence. Like, those are all disasters that, like, the Texans can't do. And that's why, to me, it's like, if you're drafting a quarterback, just throw him out there. You're right, Jeremy. Like, the offensive line's good enough. Just play him.
And bring in the veteran quarterback, like to Blanker's point. I agree with veteran quarterback as a backup. I don't want veteran quarterback as a starter under any situation.
But can you imagine the press conference for Andy Dalton?
The Red Rocket?
The true homecoming?
No, it'd be much better for Case Keenum.
I mean, the hallway would have to get longer for all the accomplishments and accolades.
Aggie Matt, I'm okay with a recent quarterback turned coach in the room with multiple young QBs. See, a lot of people are advocating for Matt Schaub to be the quarterback coach. I think the Wheelhouse was advocating for this. I think I've seen some people on the Twitters advocating for Matt Schaub to be the quarterback. This is what I was talking about earlier. I'm not a huge fan of having a very small pool. And in this scenario, you're having a very small pool of guys who are former Houston Texans. Matt Schaub has never coached in the NFL, right? He's never coached, period, if I'm not mistaken. Why? Like, Matt Schaub is not going to be the best quarterback coach you can get.
No, I can tell you why. Because he was still hanging on as a backup quarterback, the third option quarterback that was doing exactly what we said we needed a veteran to do if he was brought here. He was still collecting a check up until, I think, last year.
Schaub?
Yeah.
No
2020.
2020? Okay, 2020. 2 years ago.
He
was
close.
Yeah, he was on, I think, Atlanta's roster to do exactly what we just spelled out.
I don't think he's going to – I wouldn't hire Matt Schaub as quarterback's coach.
Like,
I want somebody who's proven, especially if you're going rookie quarterback at number two, give me a veteran quarterback to try to get the most out of that quarterback that can help him learn how to be a pro. And give me a quarterback's coach who has done it before and has proven to be good at that role that could develop a rookie quarterback. If you draft a quarterback at number two, that is so much investment. That is so much capital you're spending on that quarterback. So if you're drafting a quarterback at two to protect that capital, you need a variety of different things. You need an offensive line that can protect it. You probably need some weapons. You probably need a veteran quarterback that's active that can help that guy along the way. And you need a quarterback coach who's done it before. If you're drafting quarterback at two, you need all
of those things.
I agree.
Well, go ahead.
But what did D'Amico just come from? Their quarterback coach just walked out of the television booth.
I think he was a former coach, though.
Greasy?
I don't think so.
I think he was.
But
I think
he played the position. He's been in the booth for the last 10 years.
I don't think it was recent, but I think he used to be a coach when he first started.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm terribly wrong. I am incorrect.
Okay.
Branham's an idiot.
D'Amico just saw that work.
Yeah, good call, but here's the thing. This is why you can't do that here.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that you hired a defensive-minded head coach. So you're hiring an offensive coordinator that may get a job in the next year to 2 years if he does well. That means you're not going to slide in X player to be the offensive mind of this franchise after 1 or 2 years as a quarterback coach to play big brother. You need a guy sitting right behind your offensive coordinator that knows the exact same system, the exact same way, and is on the cusp of being the exact same guy, because when he walks out the door, your first thought process says, I'm going to interview other guys, but this is a guy with my franchise quarterback that keeps him running the same playbook, the same way, the same offense, and so we keep him on the same path. Because the other way, doing it, and you bring in a veteran, and all of a sudden he may change the whole thing up, or he may look at this a whole lot differently in an entirely different direction, and you're going, what the hell are you doing now with our quarterback?
The Texans have DeMeco. San Francisco has Kyle Shanahan, who is known to be really good with quarterbacks. 713-780-ESPN, everybody's favorite game. It's sweeping the country. Who said it? It's Joe George's debut. Of who said it. Can he stump the Killer Bees? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.